Well, good morning, Westminster. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Ben Haley, and I'm the lead pastor for the College Station congregation of our church of Westminster Presbyterian, and we're really glad to have you with us this morning through live stream. And I want to start with a story from high school. When I was in high school in the summers, you know, most of us had summer jobs, I worked at a local grocery store as a night shift stocker. So I would go in at like 10 p.m. and get home about 7 or 8 in the morning. And what was fun was that when the store closed around 10 or 11, I can't remember exactly, there would be about 4 or 5 of us stockers in the store, and that was it. And so we commandeered the sound system and plugged in our Discman and played Coolio or Pearl Jam or Garth Brooks, and we would begin stocking the store. And we would stock for hours. And then around 2 or 3 a.m., because I think the law said, we had to be given a one-hour break. And so during my one-hour break at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning in the store, I would try to find a place to get a little nap. And one of the things about the grocery store that I worked in is that it also had some of the shelving that's similar to a warehouse. Think about, you know, Sam's. It had that sort of shelving system. And during my break, I would climb up into the toilet paper section. And I would surround myself with toilet paper, and I would put a pillow behind my head, right? I was looking for a place of rest in the middle of work. I was looking for a refuge in the middle of that work shift. Until very recently, I never thought I would value toilet paper as much as I did back then. Well, we find ourselves in the middle of something, of course, that is unprecedented. And I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot about myself in the last couple of weeks. Personally, I've discovered the depths of fear in my own heart. And at the same time, I've also realized the vanity of seeking refuge in anything other than God. I admit to you that I'm scared just like you are. I'm concerned about all the same things that you're concerned about. I just want to get it out on the table this morning. We've got to name it. The fear and anxiety that we are collectively experiencing right now is unlike anything we've ever faced. And that's why I think this psalm is very important for us. Because as we experience those fears and anxieties welling up in our hearts, as we run through scenarios in our head about the future, we try to predict when this thing is going to end, this psalm points us to the only place that we can go as our refuge, to God. My hope this morning is that our fear would be built up to match that, our faith would be built up to match that fear, and really our faith would be built up to outmatch that fear. And I want to frame our time together using two questions. One, where do we go when everything is collapsing around us? I think verses 1-7 help us answer that question. We don't know the exact context of this psalm. Possibly it refers to when Assyria is besieging Jerusalem during King Hezekiah's reign. Regardless, we do know that God's people in this text collectively are facing some sort of major crisis or catastrophe. I think that's what's happening to us right now. And our psalm starts with declaring, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not be moved, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. It starts right there at the beginning, coaching us. The psalm is coaching us. I grew up in a house full of coaches. My dad was a coach. My grandfather was a coach. My uncle's a coach. All had careers as basketball coaches. And what does a good coach do in the middle of a game when their team is struggling? Call a timeout. Call a timeout and say, these are the most important things that I want you to remember right now. And I hope this morning that we can just call a timeout. and look to God and say, these are the most important things that we need to focus on. We need to get really down to what's important. And I think what we need to do is seek refuge in our God. Over the last couple of weeks, have you sensed the vanity of finding refuge in anything other than God? The vanity of finding refuge in your job, maybe, or in money, or in alcohol, or substances? Because those things, they can't shelter you. They can't sustain the losses that we are all facing right now. But you say, okay, Ben, we need to seek refuge in God. But where is God? Well, actually, our passage helps us with that as well. In verses 4 and 5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. This city of God that we see in Psalm 46, this holy habitation, is Jerusalem in the original context, in the history of God's people. But Jerusalem fell. And when we kind of zoom out, we begin to realize that really what it's referring to is God's people. That God dwells with His people, and therefore you find God, you find this refuge that we're talking about in the midst of God's people, among His people. Not because the people are a fortress, but because God is our fortress. And we discover that even if the mountains are moved into the sea, the same word in verses 1 and 5, even if the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea, God's people, the church, is not moved. We are here to stay because God is with us. Some of you watching right now, maybe you have drifted away from church. Maybe some of you have been deeply hurt by the church. And I will be the first to admit that I am a sinner. And that the church is filled with people like me, sinners. But we've got to stick with her. We've got to stick with the church because that's where God is. There is no other refuge than God. Are you seeking refuge in God? Are you realizing the vanity of finding refuge in the things of this world? I know I am realizing that on a deeper and deeper level by the day. So let's seek God together. The second question I think this psalm helps us with is the question we're all asking right now. When is this going to be over? Beth and I were watching a doctor through a Facebook video the other day, and she was telling us about her experience with the coronavirus. And basically she was saying, I get all these texts and people are always asking me, when is this going to be over? When is this going to be over? And she said, it's a lot like trying to answer the question on a road trip. You know, when your kids or someone's asking you, are we there yet? Are we there yet? We're all asking this question. When is this going to be over? When is the peak going to happen for New York? When is the peak going to happen for Texas? When is this going to be over? And I think we all know instinctively that this will pass. We all know that. We don't know when exactly, but it will pass. We will get through this particular challenge. Right now, what's in front of us is this coronavirus and everything that it impacts. And I'm very thankful, as Jay prayed, for all of the people who are working very hard to help us get through this. But I think this psalm is calling us to look beyond this particular crisis. To answer the question, when is all of this going to be over? When is someone going to do something about all of the disease and all of the sickness and all the evil and all the sin and all the death? When is that going to be over? We will get through this particular challenge, but it's not like everything is going to return to normal when this challenge is over. Because sin and death and sickness and evil are not normal. We're still going to get sick. We're still going to die. Is there someone who can conquer all of this for us? And our psalm again helps us. verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord. God will break the power of sin and death and evil and disease finally and fully. And this is actually what we're all longing for right now. The picture here in our text is of sin rearing its ugly head and manifesting in wars and disease and bringing pain and strife to all of humanity. And the reality is that God will one day wipe it out forever. He says in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." He's talking to his enemies there. It's God saying to the chaos and the crisis of the world, stop. You know, there's another place in the Bible where we read very similar words, where God says, stop. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus puts his disciples in a boat and they are going across the sea to the other side of the sea. And while they are traveling, a huge storm comes up and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples start panicking and they wake Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He gets up, he looks at them, he looks at the winds and the waves, and he says, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Two quick things I want to end on for us this morning. First, let's seek refuge in the one who commands the winds and the waves. He is the only one that withstands all of the powers of this world. Run to Jesus. Flee to Him. Because even when death comes for you, you will persevere. Because you have life in Him. Because you are with Him. Right now, you're trying to find something stable in your life. You're trying to find something you can put your stake on. And I'm just here to tell you, if it's not Jesus, it won't last. Let's seek refuge in God. And the second thing is that I need Jesus to not only say to the chaos of this world and the evil and sickness and death and sorrow in this world, I need Him not only to say, peace be still, for all the things happening outside of me and around me, I need Jesus to say that in my heart, to my fears, that faith would be built up as this psalm calls us. I need someone to say to my own heart, let the word of Christ dwell richly in your hearts, Colossians says. Let this word, peace, be still, dwell in your own heart. May God have mercy upon us. Let's pray. Our great Father in heaven, we thank you again for the comfort of your word. Lord, we confess that we are all running to things other than your word continually. Lord, that we are all trying to find something to stake our life on, something that will last, something that will endure. And Lord, help us see that you are the one standing at the end of all of this. You're the one standing at the end of not only this disease, but you're the one standing at the end of all of it. Lord, we pray that you would allow us to seek refuge in you, that you would be gracious to us. Lord, we also pray that you would calm and quiet the chaos that's going on in our hearts, the fears, the worries, the anxieties, the unknown. Lord, quiet. Lord, for every look we take at CNN or Fox News or wherever we're getting our news right now, allow us to take 100 looks at you. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.